So hello everyone, welcome to our final podcast of our series on what it means to be human. This is our third and final episode, which we will talk about postmodernism and the theme of change versus non-change. So I guess a question to open the discussion is, what key characteristics and traits define postmodernism? Let's begin.
One thing that Carson always hits on when we talk about postmodernism is the idea that there is no meaning to life, if there is, it's not important. And postmodernists believe that you shouldn't look for it. You should focus on what's actually going on and what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really a big part of postmodernism.
I think another thing is people not knowing how to handle truth and reality and emotions. And people, I feel nowadays, I would definitely say we're living in a postmodern world.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say we're still in this, I guess, era. And I think people don't know how to deal with emotions and things up front. And I think they use irony and jokes to kind of mask true feelings so they don't have to go through the pain or how difficult it might be to work
mm-hmm.
through a conflict. So, like, why not just make a meme out of it?
Because mm-hmm.
that makes everything easier instead of having to actually address the problem and fix it.
And that problem, we're just gonna set it aside.
Right.
We're not gonna think about that. We're gonna laugh at our
pain.
And
I think also it's very selfish and me, I.
Mm-hmm.
And like in the commencement speech by Wallace, the This Is Water one, he talks about how people feel like everything revolves around them. So it's like, oh, I don't want to go to school today because I'm so tired.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not always about you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever stop to think about
your
teacher or your classmates or the principal. Or
your parents who go to work so
exactly.
that you can have notebooks.
Or the bookmakers. I think it's all very, it's grown to be very selfish society.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of leads into O'Connor and Wiseblood, how I know we spoke to Mr. Carson about it, and in her letters, O'Connor says, oh, well, I don't need to talk to James, because people tell her, like, you should go talk to James Baldwin, y'all seem like y'all would have similar ideas and get along very well, and she says, no, because him and lots of other people who focus on issues such as civil rights, they're just sitting by idly and not focusing on the truth because they're too busy with ideas that don't matter, such as, you know, civil rights.
Equality.
And so I think it's interesting for O'Connor, you know, who has, oh, that none of this matters because it's not ultimately going to affect the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Baldwin's very much like, this is the truth, and
mm-hmm.
this is how we reach that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think postmodernism is definitely an era defined by constant, like, struggle and opposing ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of seems like there's just such polar opposites
mm-hmm.
that we're not ever going to, I guess in Hegel terms, reach a
mm-hmm.
synthesis.
And that's one of the things I had thought about. I had read one time about this guy, and he studied mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how in a lot of times, like, Hegel's dialectic
mm-hmm.
implies to real life and it implies to society, and there's polar opposites. There's the thesis that something's going on and it's not necessarily a good thing, and then something else happens and it's the polar opposite. So, like, O'Connor and her ideas, and then Baldwin and his ideas. And eventually, time makes it so that there is, like, a balance, and we find and reach a conclusion that is good for all people, hopefully. Or I honestly don't think there will ever be a time where everybody's just happy, but, like, the way, like, history progresses, everything's a product of the past.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think ideas end up working together to make a conclusion that'll meet in the middle in a way.
Mm-hmm.
or even not in the middle, because I believe Baldwin's 100% right.
I agree.
I hope we don't meet in the middle from what Baldwin has tried to say, but just to that degree.
I feel like that goes back to the question, is history repeating itself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, because Hegel's dialectic is very, like, you have your thesis and your antithesis, and then in the end, they're going to move forward, you're going to have a synthesis, and time and history is going to be better than than it was before,
mm-hmm.
and, like, yes, everything is a product of the past, but it's moving forward and getting better, but I think that thinking of time straightforward chronologically, by doing that, you miss a big component of history and how it's repeating itself,
mm-hmm.
and how there's so many parallels from today that there was yesterday and in the past. And I think it all kind of goes back to Faulkner, and I believe that was modernism.
Yeah.
And the idea that time is always, it's circular more than it is, you know, straightforward and linear, and that it's always circling and repeating itself. And until you, I think a big theme of modernism is, like, until you learn to deal with something and accept it and you are comfortable with it, it's going to keep, like, the problems going to keep arising,
mm-hmm.
and in just in different ways until you're able to move forward. But I think even then you're just going to kind of circle back to things,
mm-hmm.
and
in different ways. But I do feel like we do circle back to things, but it's in constant motion and we're still moving. Like, we're having issues, a lot of issues right now with equality and issues between men and women, different races and stuff. But in no way is what is happening now to the same magnitude as what has happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And though it is still a very big issue, I think we are making progress and hopefully hoping to see,
mm-hmm.
some sort of progress can lead people to have hope that it will be fixed in the future. If I feel like if you keep in your mind that it's constantly circling, not many people are gonna have hope that it will change and will strive to make that change.
And I feel like a lot of people will not feel the need. It's like, oh, if we're just gonna circle back to what it was, like, why should we change? And I think with that being said, like, history does come up, yes, in order to challenge us and to constantly remind us, like, hey, we're still not perfect and we still,
mm-hmm.
have a lot of work to be done, so we need to move forward. And I think it all comes back to Heraclitus and Parmenides,
mm-hmm.
the, you know, natural philosophers that start off Sophie's world. And Parmenides was very adamant that nothing changes and everything is just set and nothing ever moves forward and nothing ever comes, because nothing ever changes. And then Heraclitus was like, no, you're wrong, because
mm-hmm.
the world and time is a river and man's not in the same place once, because one, when he steps back in the same place earlier, he's a different man and the river's changed and the water is different. And the only thing that is certain is change.
The only thing that is certain is that nothing is for certain, because
mm-hmm.
everything's changing and everything's moving. And hopefully, I try to hope that nothing stays stagnant and that everything is moving and we're constantly progressing.
I think it was brought up with Kant.
My favorite.
But, okay, so it is brought up with Kant and then it is reestablished with Kierkegaard. So you have reason and you have experience and they're two very opposing things, but they work together and faith fills the void,
mm-hmm.
then I think very much faith and hope is what drives people to
mm-hmm.
the next stage and back and forth, because sometimes you can't be completely rational without being emotional. You can't be too emotional because you do need reason. And so I feel like they need each other even though they are polar opposites, and faith and hope
mm-hmm.
is what drives them and connects them to each other, and what leads to, you know, people and things becoming better.
Mm-hmm. How do you think change, like, what is changing in society and in the world today affects people as, like, a whole and people as a group and people as a society? Especially when we talk again about truth and finding your own truth and searching for that truth, and how does change shift the truth?
I feel like change can be a challenge because, like, you're trying to hold on to your truths, but if, like, your surroundings keep changing, then it'll be difficult for you to stick to your values and your beliefs.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in terms of, like, what people are fighting for today, it does make it seem like the world is just full of polar opposites, and, like, it does feel very desperate at times. Like, no conclusion is ever going to be made, and no progress is ever going to be made, because nobody can agree on anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also in those times, ironically enough, it does show, like, we are all people, mm-hmm. and we all have what we hold to be true, and we all value it to different extents. And even though we don't agree with the person sitting next to us maybe all the time, at the end of the day, we are still people who need and want the same things in terms of, you know, like, water and the best for our children, or people want to be happy. It's just kind of comes down to those basic human instincts and desires. And I think that is kind of, I guess, in the series of our episodes, like, what does it mean to be human? I think it is those differences that show us what it means to be human, is that even though we are all different, we're all still very much similar.
We all want the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And even though it might be different, like whether you want the lights on or off, you know, you still want things. And I think that's what's going to ultimately drive history and people, is what they want. And sometimes what they want isn't what they need. And those differences kind of balance people out,
mm-hmm.
to help them hopefully reach a conclusion and mutual understanding.
Yeah, I feel like an essential part that a problem we need to fix in postmodernism is, instead of trying, like, to separate each other depending upon what we believe in, we should come together and come to an agreement instead of trying to separate each other and going on different sides.
Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, that's it. I'm curious to know what the next, you know, years to come will be characterized by. Like, will we still be living in a postmodern world? Or, I'm sure it will be different, but I'm wondering what it will be called, and I'm wondering what characteristics will be defined by it.
What happens that makes that
Yeah,
change?
And how what we're doing now affects that. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's what humanity ultimately is this constant struggle and progression and victory and loss for tomorrow. And I think, ironically enough, it does kind of come down to a basic survival thing, because we're all just trying to fight to see tomorrow,
yeah,
in a better and different way.
That's great.
Cool.
This has been What Does It Mean to Be Human? I'm Anaya Robinson.
I'm Kelly Solis.
I'm Esther Villatoro.
And we won't see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.